light years away, where everything multiplies at an amazing rate. We're out here in the universe buying real estate. Hope we haven't gotten here too late.
We're going to welcome back to EcoTalk our clean air correspondent, Frank O'Donnell. He's going to tell us how the EPA head, Stephen Johnson, and the Bush administration define success when it comes to reducing climate change, with reducing certainly in quotation marks. It certainly is a strange state of affairs when global warming emissions go up, even if just a little bit, and the Bush administration tries to spin it as a victory. That's kind of what's happening with the latest report on emissions trends from the U.S. EPA. Frank O'Donnell, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Betsy, and thank you. And you do have to wonder what kind of gases they're inhaling at the EPA these days. And what's happened, and as you summarized it, is that the EPA puts out an annual report about here's their estimate of how many greenhouse gases are emitted in the United States in a given year, and it's something that they send to the UN and so on and so forth. Well, this week they come out and they say, well, things only went up about 1%, slightly less than 1%. This shows that the Bush administration's unparalleled activities is delivering real results. I mean, it left us just shaking our heads, because the bottom line is the emissions actually went up, and they're trying to spin that as a victory. It shows that things have really hit kind of a sad state of affairs here in D.C., where the EPA is clearly under pressure from the White House to try to put a cheerful face on all this stuff. And emissions still went up basically as much as they typically do in a given year. Since 1990, emissions have gone up on average about 1.2% a year. It's slightly less in this year, 2005, that they talked about. The Department of Energy explained why in a separate report. It said because some U.S. industries actually were operating at the lower capacity because of weather-related disturbances. That would be Hurricane Katrina, I believe. So the Bush administration is declaring a positive thing from Hurricane Katrina, I guess. I feel sorry for whoever has to grind out these press releases. It's all I can say, because they look very foolish.
Well, there's a quote or two worth mentioning word for word here from EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson. As America's economy continues to grow, our aggressive yet practical strategy is putting us on track to reach President Bush's goal to reduce our nation's greenhouse gas intensity 18% by 2012. Now, that sounds pretty aggressive, but in fact, what do you think it is?
Well, I mean, it is true in one sense that the so-called intensity levels may be declining, but the bottom line is the actual volume of emissions continues to grow, and the climate and the planet doesn't care so much about intensity or rates of things. They care about actual volume of this pollution that's infecting the climate, and the unfortunate truth is whatever they've done by way of voluntary programs, and I think the people who are working on this are trying to do what they can within the political limitations that they have. Whatever they're doing, actual emissions continue to increase, and that is bad for the climate. That is bad for the long-term future of this whole issue, unless we can get a handle on it. And I think it underscores that we really do need to go beyond these voluntary activities. We do need to have some actual mandatory programs to not only stop the growth in emissions, but reduce the emissions altogether. And some of the legislation introduced by people like Senators Barbara Boxer, Congressman Henry Waxman, are really pointing in that kind of direction. The activities out in California by Governor Schwarzenegger, particularly in some of the things that he's been doing with regard to reducing greenhouse gas emissions from motor vehicles and so forth, these are the kinds of things we actually need to have happen, not cheerful press releases trying to spin an increase in global warming emissions as some kind of victory.
Hear, hear. By the way, we're expecting Barbara Boxer to be on the show tomorrow, so thanks for mentioning her. We have lots of questions for her, and congratulations for all her great leadership on the green front. So there's also some good news, real good news, actually, from the EPA on lawnmowers.
Yeah, there's actually some good news, and it does kind of show the kind of Jekyll and Hyde nature of these things, that it's not always black and white. This week, the EPA, at long last, has proposed tougher air pollution standards for new lawnmowers and other small engines that work off of gasoline. This is something that has literally been pending as an issue for about 4 years. I've actually tracked it through several jobs. That's how far back it goes.
I know. I remember reporting on it before I even started on this program. Yeah,
and it's actually good news because what it means is in the future, assuming these rules do end up becoming final rules, and I think they will, it means that the average lawnmower, new lawnmower, will be considerably cleaner than it is today. That is something that's going to actually cause a significant reduction in pollution. EPA itself has projected that this will prevent premature deaths, hospitalizations, thousands and thousands of lost work days every year. I mean, these are actually significant rules that will actually make it easier for people to breathe. I mean, most of us don't think that, you know, when you fire up your lawnmower, it may cause your neighbor's kid to have an asthma attack. But that is actually the case today, and these rules should help. And by the way, I do have a small lawn, but I use electric mower, so I'm not quite as affected by this as some folks.
Okay, we don't have any lawn. We have lots of, well, we're on a hillside, so we have lots of shrubs, natural shrubs, of course, native shrubs.
Sure, lots of people have lawns, and that's the nature of life. And earlier, a couple months ago, you may remember EPA permitted California to go ahead with its own standards for just within California. And these standards that the EPA has proposed this week will essentially be the same standards as California is using, just coming into play several years later.
When are these rules actually going to be, you know, affecting actual lawnmowers that people are using?
Well, they should start, if they go final, they should have better hoses to prevent leaks and so forth starting next year, 2008. And they should have better engine controls and little baby egg-sized catalytic converters to try to trap a lot of the pollution starting in either 2011 or 2012, depending on whether you have a kind of a push lawnmower or one of those kind of big ride-on lawnmowers.
Okay, what else is on your radar screen, Frank? You always have your eye on things that are coming up, even if we haven't heard about it in mainstream media yet.
Well, one of the things that's gotten very little media attention since you raised it, and I think it's actually significant, is last week under political pressure, the EPA relaxed air pollution standards for ethanol refineries. This is something that was promoted by Senator Thune of South Dakota, who is a former ethanol industry lobbyist and still a recipient of campaign contributions. And, you know, we all know that there is potential with ethanol to do some good if it's used and made correctly to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The problem with this one, not only the fact that it's going to cause more air pollution at the local level where these things are sited, but it's actually going to encourage the use of coal in the process of converting the corn, I guess today at least, into ethanol. If you use coal instead of biofuels or even natural gas as a fuel source, it basically offsets any greenhouse gas benefits that you'd get from using ethanol. So it's actually a horrendous decision. And one that we're likely to see litigation over, because it's really going to kind of give ethanol a bad name and undermine the whole purpose, at least environmentally, why we would like to use it.
And, of course, that really underscores the point that there's no one, you know, silver bullet. There's going to be a lot of buckshot that we need to implement to get us off fossil fuels.
No, absolutely. And like I say, there is a lot of potential down the road to have ethanol do some good things. But if they start messing around and making it with coal and so forth, it will really erode, if not completely offset, these benefits that we hope to get.
This isn't directly on the subject of air pollution, but it is all connected. We're all connected, of course. Just wonder what you think about this announcement by Home Depot. We're hoping to get someone on tomorrow's program. Their new Eco Options outreach. They're really taking on green in a big way, like Walmart has. What do you think of these big, giant box companies really saying, we're green, we're proud of it, and we're actually spending money to do outreach and to educate our consumers?
I think it's a very good thing, and I think it's actually having an influence not just on consumers but on national policy. And I'll give you an example with related to lawnmowers. One of the backstories on this issue with lawnmowers is that the biggest engine company in America, a company called Briggs & Stratton Corporation, makes lawnmowers, for years fought against cleaner lawnmowers. And there was a fair amount of publicity about Briggs & Stratton and spending lots of money on lobbyists and influencing members of the Senate.
They were
so
the
forth.
Primary opponents for a long time, correct?
They were absolutely the primary opponent, and their spokesman in Washington was Senator Kit Bond of Missouri, because they have some factories in his state. What the backstory is, that Walmart having read a lot of the publicity about it, went to Briggs & Stratton and said, we want to carry clean products, and if you're not going to make them, we're going to carry somebody else's. And Briggs & Stratton shut up real quick.
Really?
So I see some real positive potential benefits, not just from a consumer education standpoint, but actually the shaping of national policies when it comes to behavior of some of these big box companies.
So are there some greener brands of lawnmowers showing up now in stores like that?
Well, I think they should be in California. I don't think there are nationally yet, because this has all just happened in the course of really the last 6 months or so. But I think if you looked in California, you'd probably find some cleaner brands, and we hope that nationally we'll start seeing them very soon.
Again, I don't have a lawn, and I probably wouldn't mow it if I did, honestly.
And there are companies that have articulated, by the way, that they wanted tougher standards, Honda being one of them, Kawasaki another, Kohler another, and Tecumseh another. At least four companies that I know of have actually went to EPA and said, we support tougher standards. So I think you're going to see down the road, if they're not already selling them, that those companies will be selling cleaner brands.
And what about just that old-fashioned kind that you push? That's good exercise, good sweat power.
Oh, absolutely.
Do they still make those?
I think that is, it is, you know, I think it's a limitation on it is that for people who have big lawns, it's hard to do. But absolutely, you're right.
Okay, one more reason probably to next time you either landscape or move, not to plant a lawn. It's they use a lot of pesticides and a lot of water, and that's certainly a problem here in California where we're prone to droughts. But then again, if predictions about climate change are correct, there's going to be a lot more droughts in a lot more areas that there normally are not.
Anyway. Not according to the EPA, though, when they cheerful upbeat about it.
Frank O'Donnell, it's always a pleasure chatting with you, and you never have a shortage of topics. We usually start with one or two planned, and you just go on from there. So we'll be talking to you soon.
Well, it's always a pleasure for me, too. Thank you.
Okay, take care and breathe clean air. Good. Be back right after these messages.